Is he at Master Ford's already, thinks thou?
Sure he is by this, or will be presently. But truly, he's very contagious mad about throwing into the water. Mistress Ford desires you to come suddenly.
I'll be with her by and by. Oh, but bring my young man here to school. Look where his master comes. 'Tis a playing day, I see. How now, Sir Hugh? No school today?
No, Master Slender has let the boys leave to play.
Blessing of his heart.
Sir Hugh, my husband says my son profits nothing in the world at his book. I pray you, ask him some questions in his accidents.
Come hither, William. Hold up your head. Come.
Come on, sir. I'll hold up your head. Answer your master. Be not afraid.
William, how many numbers is in nouns?
Two.
Truly, I thought there'd been one number more because they say odds nouns.
Peace your tattlings. What is fair, William?
Poker.
Polecats? There are fairer things than polecats, sure.
You are a very simplicity woman, I pray you peace. What is lapis, William?
A stone.
And what is a stone, William?
A pebble.
No, it is lapis. I pray you, remember it in your brain.
Lapis.
That is a good William. What is he, William, that does lend articles?
Articles are borrowed of the pronoun, and be thus declined singulariter, nominativo, hic, hag, hoc.
Nominativo, hig, hag, hog, pray you mark. Genitivo, who is? Well, what is your accusative case?
Accusativo, hic.
I pray you, have your remembrance, child. Accusativo, hing, hang, hog.
Hang hog is Latin for bacon, I warrant you.
Oh, leave your prabbles, woman. What is the focative case, William?
Oh, vocativo, oh.
Remember, William, focative is carrot.
And that's a good root.
Oh, woman, forbear.
Peace.
What is your genitive case, plural, William?
Genitive case.
Aye.
Genitive horum, harum, horum.
Vengeance of Jenny's case, fie on her! Never name her child if she be a whore.
Oh, for shame, woman.
You do ill to teach the child such words. He teaches him to hick and hack, which they'll do fast enough of themselves, and to call horn fie upon you.
Oh, woman, art thou lunatics? Hast thou no understanding for thy cases and the numbers of the genders? Thou art as foolish Christian creatures as I would desires.
Prithee, hold thy peace.
Oh, show me now, William, some declensions of your pronouns.
Forsooth, I have forgot.
It is qui, quai, quod. If you forget your quies, your quies, and your quads, you must be preaches. Go your ways and play. Go.
He is a better scholar than I thought he was.
Oh, he is a good sprag memory. Farewell, Mistress Payne.
Adieu, good Sir Hugh. Get you home, boy. Come, we stay too long.
Mistress Ford, your sorrow hath eaten up my sufferance. I see you are obsequious in your love, and I profess requital to a hair's breadth. Not only, Mistress Ford, in the simple office of love, but in all the accoutrement, compliment, and ceremony of it. But are you sure of your husband now?
He's a birding, sweet Sir John.
Oh, what ho!
Ah!
Gossip Ford! What ho!
Step into the chamber, Sir John.
How now, sweetheart? Who's at home beside yourself?
Why, none but mine own people.
Indeed.
Oh, no, certainly. Speak louder.
Truly, I am so glad you have nobody here.
Why?
Why, woman, your husband is in his old loons again. He so takes on yonder with my husband, so curses all Eve's daughters of what complexion soever, and so buffets himself on the head, crying, "Peer out! Peer out!" that any madness I ever yet beheld seems but tameness, civility, and patience to this his distemper he is in now. I am glad the fat knight is not here.
Why does he talk of him?
Of none but him, and swears he was carried out the last time he searched for him in a basket. Protests to my husband he is now here, and hath drawn him and the rest of their company from their sport to make another experiment of his suspicions. But I am glad the knight is not here. Now he shall see his own foolery.
How near is he, Mistress Page?
Hard by, at street's end. He will be here anon.
I am undone! Oh, the knight is here!
Oh! Why, then, you are utterly shamed! And he's but a dead man! What a woman you are! Away with him! Away with him! Better shame than murder!
Which way should he go? How should I bestow him? Shall I put him into the basket again?
No! No, I'll come no more in the basket. May I not go out ere he come?
Alas, three of Master Ford's brothers watch the door with pistols, that none shall issue out. Otherwise you might slip away ere he came. But what make you here?
What shall I do? I'll creep up into the chimney.
There they always use to discharge their burning pieces.
Creep into the kiln hole.
Where is it?
He will stick there on my word. Neither press, coffer, chest, trunk, well, vault. But he hath an abstract for the remembrance of such places, and goes them by his note. There is no hiding you in the house.
I'll go out then.
If you go out in your own semblance, you die. Sir John, unless you go out disguised.
How might we disguise him?
Alas, the day I know not. There is no woman's gown big enough for him. Otherwise, he might put on a hat, a muffler, and a kerchief, and so escape.
Good hearts, devise something, any extremity, rather than a mischief.
My maid's aunt, the fat woman of Brentford, has a gown above.
My word, it will serve him. She's as big as he is. And there's her thrummed hat and her muffler, too. Run up, Sir John!
Go, sweet Sir John. Mistress Page and I will look some linen for your head.
Quick, we'll come dress you straight. Put on the gown the while.
Oh, I would my husband would meet him in this shape. He cannot abide the old woman of Brentford. He swears she's a witch, forbade her my house, and hath threatened to beat her.
Heaven guide him to thy husband's cudgel, and the devil guide his cudgel afterwards.
But is my husband coming?
In good sadness he is, and talks of the basket, too, howsoever he hath had intelligence.
We'll try that, for I'll appoint my men to carry the basket again, to meet him at the door with it, as they did the last time.
Nay, but he'll be here presently. Let's go dress him like the Witch of Brentford.
I'll first direct my men what they shall do with the basket. Go up, I'll bring linen for him straight.
Hang him, dishonest varlet. We cannot misuse him enough. We'll leave a proof by that which we do. Wives may be merry, and yet honest, too. We do not act that often jest and laugh. 'Tis old, but true. Still swine eat all the draft.
Go, sirs, take the basket again on your shoulders. Your master is hard at door. If he bid you set it down, obey him. Quickly, dispatch!
Come, take it up.
Pray heaven it be not full of night again.
I hope not. I had his leaf bear so much lead.
Aye, but if it prove true, Master Page, have you any way then to unfool me again? Set down the basket, John and Robert, you villains. Somebody call my wife. Youth in a basket. Oh, you panderly rascals. There's a knot, a gang, a pack, a conspiracy against me. And now shall the devil be shamed. What wife? Come, I say. Come forth. Behold what honest clothes you sent forth for bleaching.
Why, this passes, Master Ford. You are not to go loose any longer. You must be pinioned.
Why, this is lunatics. This is mad as a mad dog.
Indeed, Master Ford, this is not well indeed.
So say I too, sir. come hither, Mistress Ford. Mistress Ford, the honest woman, the modest wife, the virtuous creature that hath the jealous fool to her husband. I suspect without cause, mistress, do I?
Heaven be my witness, you do. If you suspect me in any dishonesty.
Well said, brazen faced. Hold it out. Come forth, sirrah.
This passes.
Are you not ashamed? Let the clothes alone.
I shall find you anon.
Tis unreasonable. Will you take up your wife's clothes? Come away.
Empty the basket, I say.
Why, man? Why?
Master Page, as I am a man, there was one conveyed out of my house yesterday in this basket. Why may not he be there again? In my house, I am sure he is. My intelligence is true. My jealousy is reasonable! Pluck me out all the linen, Ben.
If you find a man there, he shall die a fleeing death.
There's no man.
By my fidelity, this is not well, Master Ford. This wrongs you.
Master Ford, you must pray and not follow the imaginations of your own heart. This is jealousies.
Well, he's not here I seek for.
No, nor nowhere else but in your brain.
Help me search my house this one time. If I find not what I seek, show no color for my extremity. Let me be forever your table sport. Let them say of me, as jealous as Ford that searched a hollow walnut for his wife's leman. Satisfy me once more. Once more. Search with me.
What ho, Mistress Page? Come you and the old woman down. My husband will come into the chamber.
Old woman? What old woman's that?
Why, it's my maid's aunt of Brentford.
A witch! A queen! An old cousining queen! Have I not forbid her from my house? She comes of errands, does she? We are simple men. We do not know what's brought to pass under the profession of fortune-telling. She works by charms, by spells, by the figure. And such daubery as this is beyond our element. We know nothing. Come down, you witch! You hag! You Lady Macbeth! Come down, I say!
Nay, good sweet husband! Good gentleman, let him not strike the old woman!
No.
Come, Mother Pratt, come, give me your hand!
I'll Pratt her! Out my door, you witch! You rag, you bitch! You poultry! You onion! Out, out, out! Out! I'll conjure you, I'll fortune tell you!
Are you not ashamed? I think you have killed the poor woman.
Nay, he will do it. 'Tis a goodly credit for you.
Hang her, witch!
But yea or no, I think the woman is a witch indeed. I like not when a woman has a great beard. I spy a great beard under her muffler.
Will you follow, gentlemen? I beseech you, follow. See but the issue of my jealousy. If I cry out thus upon no trail, never trust me when I open again.
Let's obey his humor a little more. Come, gentlemen.
Trust me, he beat him most pitifully.
Nay, by the mass that he did not, he beat him most unpitifully, methought.
I'll have the cudgel hallowed and hung o'er the altar. It hath done meritorious service.
What think you? May we, with the warrant of womanhood and the witness of good conscience, pursue him with any further revenge?
The spirit of wantonness is sure scared out of him. If the devil have him not in fee simple, with fine and recovery, he will never, I think, in the way of waste, attempt us again.
Shall we tell our husbands how we have served him?
Oh, yes. By all means. If it be but to scrape the figures out of your husband's brains, if they can find in their hearts the poor, unvirtuous, fat knight shall be any further afflicted, we too will still be the ministers.
Oh, Lord, they'll have him publicly shamed. And methinks there would be no period to the test should he not be publicly shamed.
Come to the forge with it, then. Shape it. I would not have things cool.
Sir, the Germans desire to have three of your horses. The Duke himself will be tomorrow at court, and they're going to meet him.
What Duke should that be come so secretly? I hear not of him in the court. Let me speak with a gentleman. They speak English?
Aye, sir. I'll call them to you.
They shall have my horses, but I'll make them pay. I'll source them. They have had my house a week at command. I have turned away my other guests. They must come off! I'll sauce them! Come!
'Tis one of the best discretions of a woman as ever I did look upon.
And did he send you both these letters in an instant?
Within a quarter of an hour.
Pardon me, wife. Henceforth do what thou wilt. I rather will suspect the sun with cold than thee with wantonness. Now doth thy honor stand in him that was of late an heretic, as firm as faith.
Tis well, no more. Be not as extreme in submission as in office, but let our plot go forward. Let our wives, yet once again to make us public sport, appoint a meeting with this old fat fellow, where we may take him and disgrace him for it.
Well, there is no better way than that they spoke of.
How? To send him word they'll meet him in the park at midnight? Fie, he'll never come.
You say he has been thrown into the rivers and has been grievously beaten as an old woman. Methinks there should be terrors in him that he should not come. Methinks his flesh is punished. He shall have no desires.
So think I, too.
Devise but how you'll use him when he comes, and let us, too, devise to bring him thither.
There is an old tale goes that Herne the Hunter, sometime a keeper here in Windsor Forest, doth all the winter time at still midnight walk round about an oat with great ragged horns, and there he blasts the tree and takes the cattle and makes milch kind yield blood and shakes a chain in the most hideous and dreadful manner. You have heard of such a spirit, and well you know the superstitious, idle-headed eld received and did deliver to our age this tale of Herne the Hunter for a truth.
Why, yet, there want not many that do fear in deep of night to walk by this Herne's oak. But what of this?
Mary, this is our device. That Falstaff at that oak shall meet with us,
where?
Disguised like Herne, with huge horns on his head.
Oh, let it not be doubted, but he'll come. And in this shape, when you have brought him thither, what shall be done with him? What is your plot?
That likewise have we thought upon, and thus, Nan Page, my daughter, and my little son, and three or more of their growth will dress like urchins, oafs, and fairies, green and white, with rounds of waxen tapers on their heads and rattles in their hands. Upon a sudden, as Falstaff, she, and I are newly met, let them from forth a soppit rush at once with some diffused song. Upon their sight, we two in great amazedness will fly. Then let them all encircle him about and fairy-like to pinch the unclean knight and ask him why that hour of fairy revel in their so
sacred paths he dares to tread in shape profane.
Until he tell the truth, let the supposed fairies pinch him sound and burn him with their tapers. Oh, yes.
The truth being known, we'll all present ourselves, dishorn the spirit, and mock him home to Windsor.
The children must be practiced well to do this, or they'll not do it.
I will teach the children their behaviors, and I will be like a jackanapes also, to burn the night with my tabor.
That will be excellent. I'll go buy them vizards.
My Nan shall be the queen of all the fairies, finely attired in a robe of white.
Oh, that silk will I go buy.
And in that attire shall Master Slender steal my Nan away and marry her at Eton. Go send to Falstaff straight.
Nay, I'll to him again in the name of Brooke. He'll tell me all his purpose. Sure he'll come.
Fear not you that. Go get us properties and tricking for our fairies.
Let us about it. It is admirable pleasures and fairly honest knaveries.
Go, Mistress Ford. Send quickly to Sir John to know his mind. I'll to the doctor. He hath my goodwill, and none but he to marry with Nan Page. That Slender, though well-landed, is an idiot, and he my husband best of all effects. The doctor is well-moneyed, and his friends potent at court. He, none but he, shall have her, though 20,000 worthier come to crave her.
What wouldst thou have, boar? What, thick skin? Speak, breathe, discuss. Brief, short, quick, snap.
Marry, sir. I come to speak with Sir John Falstaff from Master Slender.
There's his chamber, his house, his castle, his standing bed and truckle bed. 'Tis painted about with the story of the prodigal. Fresh and new. Go, knock and call. He'll speak like an anthropophag... Knock! Knock, I say!
There's an old woman, a fat woman, gone up into his chamber. I'll be so bold as to say, sir, till she come down. I come to speak with her indeed.
A fat woman. The knight may be robbed. I'll call. Bully knight! Bully, Sir John! Speak from thy lungs, military! Art thou there? Is it thine host, thine Ephesian, calls?
How now, mine host?
Here's a Bohemian Tartar tarries the coming down of thy fat woman. Let her descend, bully! Let her descend! My chambers are honorable. Fine. Privacy! Fie!
There was, mine host, an old fat woman even now with me, but she's gone.
Pray you, sir, was not the wise woman of Brentford?
Aye, Mary, it was, Muscle Shell. What would you have with her?
My master, sir, my master Slender, sent to her, seeing her go through the streets, to know, sir, whether one Nim, sir, that beguiled him of a chain, had the chain or no?
I spake with the old woman about it.
And what says she, I pray, sir?
Oh, Mary, she says that the very same man that beguiled Master Slender of his chain cousined him of it.
I could have spoken with the woman herself. I had other things to have spoken with her, too, from him.
What are they? Let us know.
I come. Quick!
I may not conceal them, sir.
Conceal them, or thou diest!
Why, sir, they were nothing but about Mistress Anne Page, to know if it were my master's fortune to have her or no.
Tis his fortune.
What, sir?
To have her or no. Go! Say the old woman told me so.
May I be bold to say so, sir?
Aye, sir, like who more bold?
I thank you, your worship. I shall make my master glad with these tidings.
Thou art clerkly! Thou art clerkly, Sir John! Was there a wise woman with thee?
Aye, that there was, mine host. One that hath taught me more wit than ever I learned before in my life. And I paid nothing for it neither, but was paid for my learning.
Out, Alasa, cousinage, mere cousinage!
Where be my horses? Speak well of them, Valletto!
Run away with the cousiners, for so soon as I came beyond it, and they threw me off from behind one of them in a slough of mire, and sent spurs in a way like three German devils, three Dr. Faustuses.
They are gone but to meet the Duke. Villain, do not say they be fled. Germans are honest men.
Where is mine host?
What is the matter, sir?
Have a care of your entertainments. There is a friend of mine come to town, tells me there is three sorts of cousin Germans that has cousined all the hosts of Reddings, of Maidenhead, of Colebrook, of horses and money. I tell you for good will, look you. You are wise, and full of jibes and vloating stocks, and 'tis not convenient you should be cousined. Fare you well.
Where is man Ostegarter?
Here, Master Doctor. In perplexity and doubtful dilemma.
I cannot tell what is that, but it is telling me that you are making grand preparation for a Duke de Germanie, eh? Ben à trot, there is no Duke. That court is no to come. I tell you for goodwill, eh? Adieu.
You and cry, Bardolph, go! Assist me, knight, I am undone. Fly! Run, you, and cry, villain! I am a dog!
Sorry to hear that.
I would all the world might be cousined, for I have been cousined and beaten, too. If it should come to the ear of the court, how I have been transformed and how my transformation hath been washed and cudgeled, they would melt me out of my fat drop by drop and liquor fishermen's boots with me. I warrant they would whip me with their fine wits till I were as crestfallen as a dried pear. I never prospered since I forswore myself at Primero. Well, if my wind were but long enough to say my prayers, I would repent. Now, whence come you?
From the two parties, forsooth.
The devil take one party and has damned the other, and so they shall be both bestowed. I have suffered more for their sakes, more than the villainous inconstancy of man's disposition is able to bear.
And have not they suffered? Yes, I warrant. Speciously one of them. Mistress Ford, Goodheart, is beaten black and blue, that you cannot see a white spot about her.
What tell'st me thou of black and blue? I was beaten myself into all the colors of the rainbow, and I was like to be apprehended for the Witch of Brentford. But that my admirable dexterity of wit, my counterfeiting the action of an old woman, delivered me. The knave constable had set me in the stocks, in the common stocks, for a witch.
Sir, let me speak with you in your chamber. You shall hear how things go, and I warrant to your content. Here is a letter will say somewhat. Good hearts, what to do here is to bring you together. Sure, one of you does not serve heaven well that you are so crossed.
Come up into my chamber.
Master Fenton, talk not to me. My mind is heavy. I will give over all.
Yet hear me speak. Assist me in my purpose, and as I am a gentleman, I'll give thee 100 pound in gold, more than your loss.
I will hear you, Master Fenton, and I will, at the least, keep your counsel.
From time to time, I have acquainted you with the dear love I bear for to fair Anne Page, who mutually hath answered my affection so far forth as herself might be her chooser, even to my wish. I have a letter from her of such contents as you will wonder at, the mirth whereof so larded with my matter that neither singly can be manifested without the show of both. Fat Falstaff hath a great scene. The image of the jest I'll show you here at large. Hark, good mine host. tonight at Hearn's Oak, just twixt 12 and 1, must my sweet Nan present the fairy queen. The purpose why is here. In which disguise, while other jesters something rank on foot, her father hath commanded her to slip away with Slender, and with him at Eton immediately marry. She hath consented. Now, sir, her mother, ever strong against the match, and firm for Dr. Caius, hath appointed that he shall likewise shuffle her away, while other sports are tasking of their minds, and at the deanery, where a priest attends, straight marry her. To this, her mother's plot, she, seemingly obedient, likewise hath made promise to the doctor. Now thus it rests. Her father means she shall be all in white, and in that habit, when Slender seizes time, to take her by the hand and bid her go. She shall go with him. Her mother hath intended, the better to denote her to the doctor, for they must all be masked and visored, that quaint and green she shall be loose and robed, with ribbons pendant flaring about her head, and when the doctor spies his vantage ripe, to pinch her by the hand, and, on that token, the maid hath given consent to go with him.
Which means she to deceive, father or mother?
Both, my good host, to go along with me. And here it rests, that you'll procure the vicar to stay for me at church, twixt 12 and 1, and in the lawful name of marrying, to give our hearts united ceremony.
Well, husband, your device. I'll to the vicar bring you the maid. You shall not lack a priest.
So shall I evermore be bound to thee. Besides, I'll make a present recompense.